Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we celebrated the Feast of the Archangels. Today, we celebrate the Feast of Saint Jerome. Who was Saint Jerome? Saint Jerome was the man who wrote the church's official Latin biblical text. He was the one who translated the Bible into Latin. He did an enormous service for the church in giving us the riches and the treasure. He spent his life translating the Bible. He was somewhat of a hermit. He founded a monastic community in the Holy Land, and that's where he spent his time then composing commentaries on the scriptures. We owe him a great deal. And the opening prayer for morning prayer, not the Mass, but for morning prayer is this: O God, you illumined Saint Jerome with love for your word and for the task of proclaiming it to others. Shine on your people's path that we may walk always in the light of your word toward your heavenly kingdom through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Listen to that. Shine on your people's path that we may walk always in the light of your word. Allow your life to be formed by the word. Allow your priorities to be established by the word. Allow your thoughts, your words, and actions to be shaped, to be formed by the truth of God's word. That word is living. That word has power to change your life. It's not just an academic lesson. It's a word that can fill you body, mind, and spirit and direct your life. Let the word of God be a daily part of your diet, not just a snack. 15 minutes a day at least. Read the Psalms. You can read the readings of the day. You can do that, or you can take a particular gospel or a letter of Paul and read it that way. Just get yourself a little plan and begin, but read it daily. Let the word of God shape you, and we owe it to Saint Jerome for the enormous task that he accomplished. It became the official Latin translation, what Saint Jerome did. It's every translation that has come from that original Latin text. Today, we read from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. In the month Nisan of the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when the wine was in my charge, I took some and offered it to the king. As I had never before been sad in his presence, the king asked me, "Why do you look sad? If you are not sick, you must be sad at heart." Though I was seized with great fear, I answered the king, "May the king live forever. How could I not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been eaten out by fire?" See, here's a people in exile. But here is one of those exiled people who's found favor with the king, but he's afraid. And when the king asks him a question, he could get his head chopped off. But he answers him truthfully. And so the king says, "What is it then that you wish?" I prayed to the God of heaven and then answered the king, "If it please the king, and if your servant is deserving of your favor, send me to Judah, to the city of my ancestors' graves, to rebuild it." Then the king and the queen seated beside him asked me how long my journey would take and when I would return. I set a date that was acceptable to him, and the king agreed that I might go. That was a seemingly impossible thing, that the king would take note of a need or of the pain of one of his slaves, so to speak. I asked the king further, "If it please the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of west of Euphrates, that they may afford me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah, and also a letter for Asaph, the keeper of the royal park, that he may give me wood for timbering the gates of the temple, citadel, and for the city wall and the house that I shall occupy. So he asked for everything. You know, he's going to go for it now that he sees the king is well disposed to him. And the king granted my requests, for the favoring hand of my God was upon me. You see, this subject, this man in the kingdom wasn't asking for himself, really. He was asking for his people. He spoke in personal terms. But look what he's asking. I need wood for the temple and the gates and the citadel and the city walls and my own house. I need a lot. And God gave it to him through this king who was well disposed toward him. Psalm 137, let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. When you see the things that God has done in your life, it makes sense that a psalmist would say, let my tongue be silenced if I ever forget you. By the streams of Babylon, we sat and wept. They were exiles. And though there our captors ask of us the lyrics of our songs, and our despoilers urged us to be joyous, sing for us the songs of Zion. How could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand be forgotten. May my tongue cleave to my palate if I remember you not, if I place not Jerusalem ahead of my joy, my own personal joy. If I don't place my homeland and my people ahead of my own personal gain. Do you place your family, your parish, the people you love, the people with whom you worship, do you place all of them ahead of your own personal satisfaction? You should. Think about it. It can be done by prayer. It can be done by generous acts of service. It can be done in a host of ways. May my tongue cleave to my mouth if I forget you, if I remember you not. In other words, may I be unable to speak if I forget you, Lord, and forget what you have done for me, and forget the goodness and kindness that has come to me through the people around me. Pay attention. And the gospel today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Have you ever said that to Jesus? I will follow you wherever you lead me. It makes for a very different life than you expect, but oh, what a life it is. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus answered him, foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. In other words, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have less provision than even the animals do. And to another he said, follow me. Jesus turned to someone and said, follow me. Have you ever heard the invitation from God to follow him? Have you said no? Reconsider. To another he said, follow me. But he replied, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. But he answered him, let the dead bury their dead. But you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. And Jesus answered him, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what is left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus always wanted us to honor our families, always, and to care for them and to provide for them. At the same time, if God calls us to something, if he directly calls us to something, then we see how our families can be cared for when we're absent. Jesus was not saying, abandon your family. He was just saying, put my will and my call above your own desires. You do have responsibility to care for family, and for those left behind if God is calling you to something. You do bear a certain responsibility, but it can be carried out through other people. The point is, the most important point here is that you do what God asks you to do, because God has infinite store of provision for all those you love. You see, we oftentimes, when we say no to God and we give reasons that sound very respectable, and I'm not saying they're not, but they sound very respectable. But what we're saying in effect is, I'm going to do what I want to do more than what you want me to do. We're putting God in second place. If we put God in first place, then the legitimate responsibilities we have will be provided for. God will show us. Yes, we might have to put some work in it, but God will show us how to do that. Maybe you are supposed to stay right there for another 2 years and then follow the call of God. You can do that. But if God calls us to something, even the most important obligations, I'm not saying they need to be put aside. That's not what I'm saying. But they need to be offered to God and say, I will do what you will, but how do I handle this? How do I take care of this? And God will show you. And it will be good. And I've seen sometimes that the provision God has is better than what we could have come up with. And I mean that in all kinds of ways, not just for elderly parents. So, brothers and sisters, God always provides. I remember when I entered religious life, I can say this now because my mother's with the Lord, but when I entered religious life, she was very unhappy. My mother was a convert. She didn't fully understand, and she had dreams and plans for her children, like all mothers do. And it was very, very hard for her. And she really saw it that she would never see me again or have me again. And I was entering religious life at a time when there really was an incredible separation. And yet, near my mother's death, even though there were many times I could not be with her, there were people with her, but many times I could not be with her. Right, not long before my mother died, she said to me one day, how is it that my daughter, my firstborn, has become my best friend? And we both just smiled at one another, that God accomplished what we couldn't see how could be accomplished, that the relationship could even grow stronger. How is it that my daughter has become my best friend? Brothers and sisters, God will not be outdone in generosity. When we do what he asks us to do, he will provide and he will supply for those responsibilities that are important. Please, please, please listen to the voice of the Lord. Whatever he's asking of you, and I'm not talking just about a vocation to priesthood or religious life. There are all kinds of things that we're called to. Ask him. Ask him for help. Put him first, and you will be amazed at the blessings that come to you. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.